Welcome to Dynasty for the Common Man, where an average Joe Dynasty player just wants to talk with other average Joe Dynasty players. My name is Nathaniel Broughton. You can find me on Twitter at Nathaniel Bro. Follow me for interaction. I don't push out any hot takes or statistics or anything like that. What I like to do is talk draft strategies and Twitter polls and talk trade ideas. So find me on Twitter and let's connect. Let's get to this week's show. It's an honor to have the opportunity to speak to someone like Stuart, who's our guest tonight. I want to introduce him a little bit. So Stuart messaged me on Twitter hearing that, you know, I interview people and said he'd be interested. And I was very excited about the opportunity to meet someone new, but then found out that he's living in the UK. And the back and forth that we've had, I just learned, even just the Twitter interactions, that the man is patient, resilient, and gracious to me. He's also like really passionate about football because he's had to bend over backwards when I have dropped the ball. And so I'm honored to extend this opportunity for you, Stuart, especially as you were mentioning that you're sometimes up in the wee hours of the night just to watch a football game, you know, where I get the blessing of a noon or 1 o'clock game, you get a 1 a.m. game. So it's like, man, this is incredible. So welcome, Stuart. I'm super glad that you're on the podcast, and I'm just honored to have you join me.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to be talking some football at an early hour.
Yeah. So as Dynasty has no off season, we are still getting ready for the rookie drafts, and we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about general draft strategy. Stuart has been in Dynasty for only a few years, but has already a lot of experience. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about how you found out about just American football, and then how you got into Dynasty fantasy football specifically?
Yeah, so I'm always massive, huge sports fan. Obviously, over here it's mostly football, our football, soccer, as you would call it. Mm-hmm. Cricket, rugby league, rugby union, darts. It wasn't really in my childhood. My dad sort of watched a bit of it during the 80s, and he was a 49ers fan. But he says that, but he wouldn't watch a game. He was sort of just one of them things. Every now and then we'd sort of watch a bit. And then as I grow older, we watched a couple of Super Bowls when I was at university. And then I'm a gambler, and a few years ago it was a Sunday night and there was nothing else to bet on. There was nothing doing, and I saw a tip on Twitter for Shady McCoy to score a touchdown, and I thought, oh, I'll have a go at that and see what happens. And so I put a bit of money on that. He was playing for the Bills at the time.
Okay.
I watched that game that night. That just happened to be the game that they were showing over here, and I was like, "This is brilliant!" Loved every second of it, and I was like, "This is it now. I'm gonna watch this now." So I just carried on watching it, Red Zone and just the Sunday games.
Okay.
For sort of a year or so, and then I was like, this is now my sport. This is now my main sport. I love this. It's brilliant. The intricacies of it, the tactics, it's far more involved than any sport that I would see or play and watch over here.
Oh my gosh. You're going to be blacklisted from all your soccer fans.
Oh, no. I live in a small town, and I'm a huge supporter of the local team. We play sort of three leagues below the Uniteds of the world.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would choose American football over football any day of the week now. So I thought, well, I mean, I'll have a go at this fantasy, because we play fantasy soccer over here and that, but it's one of them that if you're not winning after 2 weeks, you tend to just ignore it.
Yeah.
You don't build. You've got a pot of money and you build your team from that rather than drafting. So I had a go at the fantasy on the NFL app, and it was okay, it was fine, but I didn't know the people, I didn't know what I was doing, hadn't got a clue what was going on. I think I missed the draft, so it auto-drafted as well.
Okay, great. That's a tough start.
So the first year of playing, it was just a nothing really. And then I got more into it a couple of years ago. I ran a league from a Twitter site that I run with a couple of people that I knew off there. And I was involved in it more than anybody else. It was just a redraft league, and I was checking the teams every week. I was making my changes every week. I was doing the free agency work and playing the waiver wire and everything.
Yeah.
I walked it. It was nice to win. It was nice to have a bit of money, but it was just, so I thought, well, I kept listening to the Fantasy Pros web, the podcast.
Yeah.
And they kept doing the, instead of when they want about the waiver wires, it's like, buy high, sell lows. And I was like, how'd you do that? What's going on? What's this? So that was where I first heard about Dynasty.
Yeah.
And that was sort of piqued my interest. I have to look into this. So I sort of looked into it. It was last off season now. And I joined my first Dynasty League, and it sort of, it went from there. One became two, became five, became 10.
Nice.
And that was it.
So how many leagues are you in right now?
I'm in 13 Dynasty. I've joined a Campus to Canton League this off season.
Okay.
And I've got one more startup coming soon that I know of, and I'll probably enter two or three more before the season starts.
Are you? Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, I love it. I'm absolutely addicted. I'm absolutely passionate about it. It's consumed my life almost now.
Yeah. It has a tendency to do that. I've noticed that's a trend with people that I talk to. And for you, like, it's a perfect melding of your enjoyment of gambling as well as sports.
I still do bet on it a little bit, but it's all about the dynasty now. It is all about, I love drafting. So I've done a few best balls already this season. So that's sort of to stop myself from joining any more startups, I've been doing best balls this year for the first time.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I love it. I love the player values. I love chatting to different people and finding out what they like and putting together trades. I like doing that and, you know, just chatting with different people from all around the world, you know, not just the States, because there's a guy I speak to from Iceland. There's people in Australia, you know, it's fantastic.
Nice. That is fun. I'm a little surprised because oftentimes I hear like the feedback from people who are really into, you know, European football that American football is just slow because we stop like every 7 seconds. Whereas soccer, there's continuous play, same with rugby and all the different variations of that, like it's continuous play. But for you, you see that's why it allows for more strategy. Is that right?
That's part of the game, isn't it? You know, the taking a timeout it's tactical. It's when you use it, it's what you're doing. A couple of years ago, I think it was when Tennessee played Patriots in the playoffs, and you'd got the Tennessee coach running the clock down and Bill Belichick getting angry and angrier by the second on the opposite touchline. And it's like, that was brilliant. You know, you don't get anything like that in European soccer. The manager, they set the team, they set the tactics before the game, but it's very much, it ebbs and flows in different ways, which it's a more fluid game.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it better by any stretch of the imagination. But I get that at work. You said about watching the games. I work 1 o'clock, sort of 2 o'clock starts. And I've always got my phone, what with the, on a Monday night, sort of Sunday night or Thursday night, I've always got my phone watching the game on the sly. So that the management
don't see. Right, yeah.
Hidden under bags. And I'm walking around and I'm getting, what are you watching that for? What's, you know, it's, and you, a lot of people don't give it a chance, but when they do, it's, you know, there's a huge UK NFL community and there's a huge fantasy community over here. There's loads of very, very good podcasts with lots of ridiculously knowledgeable people who know what they're talking about. They do, they really do. And obviously with the NFL coming over here for games, it's helped grow the sport over here, just that. It's a great experience. I went down for one of the games and it was absolutely amazing experience.
Nice. Is it different going, like, how is the UK crowd for a soccer game versus the UK crowd in a football game? I don't remember if I've ever walked, like, here when they play the UK game, it's like 6 or 7 or 8 in the morning for me, where I'm getting the kids out, or maybe we're going to church.
Yeah.
So I never really watched those games, but I'm familiar with like the way the crowd is just so involved in a soccer match. I'm wondering, is it a similar feel? Does it feel more like how the American crowd responds, where it's a lull and then there's a spike of enthusiasm?
Because there's no home support.
Oh, sure.
It's very much a pretty constant level of noise. The Jaguars have got quite a bit of a base, and the Chargers have got quite a large fan base over here as well. And it does tend to be loud at those games, I've noticed. Yeah. But it does tend to be quite a certain level of noise. There's no real peaks and troughs with it. It tends to be quite steady. Whereas, like you said, with football over here, the crowd's involved in the game. The crowd can rile the players up and get them going, and they can affect the game sometimes.
Yeah.
Not just like at Seattle, where they're making a ridiculous noise whenever anyone else has got the ball.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Do you have an NFL team that's like your team now? Have you adopted one?
Yeah. Washington. With the shady McCoy bet that I said about earlier, I did like the Bills at the time. I think Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback there, and I when I first started watching, I liked the running game more than the passing game.
Okay.
I thought it was the way that the running backs were used was just different to what I'd seen of NFL. You know, you see the highlights, it's Beckham's catch, it's big catches, it's big long runs, rather than just the ground and pound of Derrick Henry running.
Right.
3 yards and 3 yards and 3 yards.
Right.
But then I thought I didn't really pick a team then until I went to my first London game, which was Washington versus the Bengals.
Okay.
Which was 5 years ago now. And on the train down, I said, I'm going to support Washington. And that was it. That was all I've got. I've got no anyone or any place in the US.
Yeah.
So that was how I chose it. So I was on a bit of a losing side, which everyone I picked there really.
But yeah, that's true. There was a great upside on other option.
No. Although I'm confident now. I am confident now with what they're doing now. I think we're going to have a good season.
Yeah. Oh man, the Washington football team. There's my nightmare is of dynasty football. My nightmare story of trading stems from Darius Geis. So anytime I think of the Washington football team, I think of that trade I made involving Darius Geis. It's just, it ruined my team for like probably 4 years. It's been brutal.
I don't think you're the only one in the last couple of years who would be saying that either.
Yeah. Maybe we'll commiserate later on and talk about some of the worst trades we've made. I want to talk tonight, this afternoon, tonight for you, about rookie talk, because we're nearing the NFL draft. The pro days have been unfolding. I have intentionally been trying to tune those out more than ever before this year. I've never really been a big believer in the combine, but it still has influenced me. Whereas this year, like, if there's an article or a podcast devoted to pro days, like, I'm just not going to listen to it, because it's just an intentional choice I've made. But in light of it's still rookie hype is getting higher. Their rookie fever for picks is growing. The NFL draft will happen soon, and then we'll jump into rookie draft season. And even I've been interested in doing a startup draft where the rookie picks, not the players, are embedded in there. So I've been trying to find a league that would kind of meet what I'm looking for, plus add rookie picks in. So I'm already thinking regularly about what's the value of this pick going to be compared to a current veteran. And so we're going to talk about that kind of stuff. What I've noticed this year, we'll mainly talk Superflex on this podcast today, because a lot of the value of this rookie class stems from the quarterbacks, is that outside of one position or one player at each position, the variance of rankings, who's your RB2, who's your wide receiver two, who's your quarterback two, it's just all seems like all over the board. And even I've seen some where their RB1 is different than everyone else's RB1. You know, I've seen where it seems that most people put Najee Harris as the RB1, and maybe the more predominant view then is Travis Etienne behind him. But I've seen people say Javonte Williams is their RB1. And then I'm just like, whoa, what? He was split in the backfield with Michael Carter. Like, how can, but then I watch the film of him and sometimes you're like, oh, he does look good. So it's like, I'm feeling stuck on how to evaluate this rookie class. And especially because I'm not a scout. I'm not a data person either. All I do is I listen to those people and then I kind of put together my flavor of what I like and what I think is most strategic. And include landing spots, obviously, when we find out landing spots in that equation. And then come up with, you know, my strategy, my thoughts on the rankings. But if all the rankings and all the opinions are so varied, I'm feeling a little stuck this year on what to do with the rookies. So what do you do when you're hearing competing rankings across the rookie landscape this year?
It's tough. We've been over here, I don't get to watch a lot of college football, barely any really. We do get, I think, like 3 or 4 games on one of the channels, but we've doing a Sunday night and then a Monday night and a Thursday night. It'd be nice to see my partner and my kids sometimes. So that's right. So I'm very much pretty much the same as you. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to sort of 24, 25 hours of podcasts a week. And there's so many different opinions there. So it's finding ones that I, it's not even ones that I trust because they're all giving their opinion on what they like. It's just finding ones that I sort of can buy into what they're saying. There's a lot of people who are very high on Javonte Williams. I've seen a lot, most people now, I think, have him second behind Najee. And so I didn't even know his name before a few months ago. But right. I didn't play Devi or Campus Decay on just then. So it was a case of going to watch some tape. And I don't know what I'm looking for with tape because I never played it when I was youngster or anything like that. So I, in terms of my sporting background, I know I'm not a particularly good football player, but I know the game. I know positionally where I need to be. I know the little things to look out for from players who, and what they're doing that people wouldn't notice. But with American football, I'm purely at the I have to go off what is being told to me sometimes, especially with these youngsters.
Right.
So I'm just sort of watching a bit of tape on everyone and just seeing what I like as well, really. Last year I watched, I just heard Laviska Shenault's name. And I was like, oh, that's a good name. I watched tape on him.
Nice.
And I thought he was brilliant. I couldn't tell you where he was at, where he was at college-wise. But I watched some tape on him and he looked, I thought he looked brilliant. I thought he was the best tape of any rookie wide receiver that I saw last year. So I put him a bit higher than most people. I've got him, I didn't put him first in my rankings because that would be silly based on who else was there. But I'd got him I got him like fifth in my rookie wide receiver rankings last year. So I was taking him very early in the second.
Yeah.
Just after sort of the T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson early second round.
Got it.
Because he just looked like he'd got that something different. He looked like he'd got that ability to move a defender at the line of scrimmage. He looked like he'd got that ability to just take people on, beat them with pace. He'd got that sort of niftiness to work it around players. He'd got that, you know, he got that slight rushing ability as well if he was called on that for sort of run around. He just looked like he'd got something that the other players hadn't got. And even looking at what he did last year, in the NFL, I think that sort of came to fruition. There wasn't many.
He saw sparks of it for sure.
Yeah, there was no one else used like him last year, I don't think. So it's like that with me this year. I'm just trying to catch a bit of tape here or there, but it's a case of mostly going off what the sort of consensus is really, because they know better than I do, really.
Right. Yeah.
And if I can find somebody that I am a little bit higher on, then I'll be prepared to move up and take them or drop down off somebody who's being sort of touted more. I have found with these pro days that have been happening over the last sort of couple of weeks, whoever's pro day it is today is the absolute in player.
Right.
So Zach Wilson was quarterback number 2, which he might well be for most people anyway, it was QB2 last week after his, but I think he only made one pass. If you watch the highlights, I think that people only said he made one pass. And then this week, it's Justin Fields is now quarterback number two. And then, or is it Trey Lance, actually? You know, or it seems to change so much. So I don't listen to too much of it, you know, this hype.
Yeah.
Because it is just that. It's hype for a lot of people. It's what we know. It's what we've just heard. It's recency bias, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It is that recency bias. I mean, even as you're going back to the Javonte Williams talk, like Najee Harris last year, all the guys who do Devy, looking at college players, you know, were so disappointed when he didn't come out as a junior, and because he was like number one on their board, him and Jonathan Taylor, like, or maybe him and DeAndre Swift. It seemed like that was he was at least in the debate for the tier one running back. And now, a year later, he doesn't have this amazing profile that he has as a junior, but he still did what he did as a junior. And so now he's third on the list in someone's pecking order. And it's like, oh, you know, what is up with that? So I'm struggling with that in the running backs, but more so, Stuart, I'm struggling with this with the wide receivers. Because like you, not a scout, I do like to watch just their highlights. So I'll try to watch a 3 to 5 minute package of every, maybe the top 40 projected rookies, dynasty relevant rookies. And that's all I get. And I'm not really looking for traits. I think it's fair to say, I should at least know what they look like and how they move. If they're like a Mike Williams, when I saw Mike Williams at Clemson, I was like, okay, he doesn't look like anyone's. He looks like there's always someone on him and he makes great catches. I don't think that's a quality I appreciate in college. So I didn't appreciate it in the pros. Versus when I saw like a DJ Moore at, was it Penn State? I can't remember where he went, came to college. That he seemed like a guy who had separation. There was just no one near him because of the way he was able to just subtly move. And that was the type of wide receiver I like. And so I just kind of learned like what I like to, what players I like to put my investments in. And so that's kind of all I'm really doing is just kind of getting a brief. How do they loot? How do they win in college? And is that a trait that I think is translatable or not? But when it comes to these wide receivers, I mean, let's just name some of them. So Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, Rashad Bateman, Rondell Moore, Jalen Waddle, Terrence Marshall. Those are maybe like your top five or six that people are talking about. Outside of Terrence Marshall, I would just throw all of them up and say, pick whichever one you want, which basically means you should pick the last of them, whichever is the cheapest. But people just go head over heels about Ja'Marr Chase, and rightfully so, about what Devonta Smith did this last year, just blowing college football out of the water with his wide receiver skills. I work at the University of Minnesota. I work with college students. And so Rashad Bateman is the University of Minnesota guy. So I was aware of him as a sophomore up here, and now he's turned everyone's heads. And I'm like, oh, if he's awesome, it'd be really a bummer for me not to pick him. But some people dismiss him as the safe play and they want the high upside guy like a Jalen Waddle, where Jalen Waddle could be like this amazing athlete and we just haven't seen the full package because of his injury history, whereas other people are so worried about the injury history they move him behind. So it's like, gosh, the jumble is just, it feels like a tangled web. You know, if you ever do Christmas lights and you pull out last year's lights and it's just, they're all linked together and you can't extract them. Like, I can't figure out if I want to go with the safe guy, which I would classify like a Rashad Bateman as, or the like really high ceiling type of player with the high risk maybe embedded in it, like a Jalen Waddle, or if I want to go with the, like, you know, what people seem to be as transcendent talents in Ja'Marr Chase and Devonta Smith. But Devonta Smith is a lot smaller than your average high profile receiver. And Ja'Marr Chase hasn't played for a year. So they feel just as risky sometimes to me. So like I said, it's like a Christmas lights ball just wrapped up. And how are you handling this wide receiver class?
Much the same, really. I think Ja'Marr Chase is being touted as an exceptional talent. So, on my little rookie ranking list, I've got him one, and then sort of a big block of two. Rondale Moore and Bateman, like you said, it's hard because, like I said, I'm going off what other people are telling me with right. the rookie, especially the wide receivers, because with the running backs, you can see a bit more, but with a wide receiver, I see it as sort of, I'm still learning the game very much. I've only sort of been following it for maybe 5-6 years. So learning all the routes and the way they run their routes is something that I'm still picking up. And to be fair, probably some, you know, you might still be learning the game in some respects in terms of that as well, because the game changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sort of a bit like you said, I'd be looking to move back in any of that. I'm happy to take any of the ones you mentioned, and I'll move back from the sort of 108, 109 spot and pick up the last one and try and get a bit of future draft capital or something added on top.
Mm-hmm.
The only wide receiver that I've sort of looked at and been, wow, I like what he's doing, is De'Ami Brown.
Oh, really? Okay.
On my list, I've added him into that sort of that second tier almost.
Nice.
He looks like he's got, I think he's 6'1", 6'2". He looks a good size. He's quick. He's got a deep threat. He can catch a ball. And he seems that the tape I've seen, he likes to use that sort of downfield threat to cut back inside, to come back down the field and pick up the ball and sort of leave the cornerbacks in the middle of nowhere sometimes.
Yeah.
So he's the one I've added him into sort of that second tier. So I'll be getting a lot of him, I think, this year.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm looking at Dynasty League Football's rookie ADP, when they've run some rookie mock drafts, he's the 25th player off the board, you know, around Trey Sermon, Kyle Trask, Michael Carter, Kadarius Toney, and Elijah Moore go in front of him, along with Chuba Hubbard and all these other guys. So you can get him for a bargain.
Anywhere. Mid second round, I'll be taking him. Mid second round and onwards, he'll be on most of my teams this year, I hope. I've got a second round pick anyway.
Yeah, nice. You had mentioned to me off air that there is one league where you have several rookie picks, right?
Yeah, this was the very first dynasty I ever did. I mean, not like it was years ago. It was last off season, and My draft, I moved up. I was completely new to it. I went into it cold. I had no idea of the theory, the tactics, the sort of strategy or anything. But I liked the idea of trading draft picks. So I moved up into the second round, and I probably gave up a little bit too much. I did a bit more moving around. I just didn't, with the exception of sort of three of my top players, didn't really like the team.
Sure.
And I got offered a lot for Dalvin Cook. A day after the draft, so I thought, I've heard a bit about this rebuild. With one day after the draft, I'll rebuild.
Yeah.
So I made a lot of moves in that league. I got rid of Cook, Madison, Dak, Devontae Adams, Carson, Waller, and I've ended up with a very, very good young team: Tua, Jefferson, Deontay Johnson, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, Noah Fant. And then I've also picked up, I've got 5 first-round picks this year, 3 next year, and okay. the 2-1. So I've basically got 6 first-round picks this year.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to do? This wasn't something I had thought of earlier, but if you'd be up for it, let's run a mock where you have those picks, and I'll pick the other players. And you tell me at what points you're like, I'm thinking about not making this pick and try to trade out.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So okay. it's a super flex league.
Okay.
It's a full PPR and it's a one point tight end premium. So they get 2 points for PPR.
Oh, that's
so
a big premium. Yeah. Okay. So what picks do you have?
So I've got the first pick, the fourth pick, the seventh, 9th, 11th, and then the 201.
All right. Well, sweet. Tell us a little bit about, okay, you kind of mentioned, you sketch outlined your team there. Is this a team that you're like, it's still a year away, or with this class, I can compete this year?
I mean, when I add Trevor Lawrence, I will have a good team with very little depth. Okay. I said, I've got a good team. It's start three wide receivers. There's three flex spots.
Okay.
And my starting team for week one is good. Okay. May even be sort of good. It should be good enough for playoffs at the very least.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be a 22-23 that I'm really looking to go on and push on to win.
Okay. Okay. Well, cool. So you're taking Trevor Lawrence with the first pick.
I have to, because I've only got Tua and Sam Darnold at quarterback.
What would you be willing to trade the 101 for the 103 and a second?
No. I'd need more on that okay. 103. I have been looking to move back from the 101 to sort of the 103, 105 range and pick up either another first next year and maybe even a little bit more, because, you know, it's Trevor Lawrence, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
I think there's probably more value on with him on my team going into the season than there will be in me drafting him on draft day, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, so, I will with that 101 pick, I'll be taking Trevor Lawrence.
All right. Sounds good. So then I get picks 2 and 3, right? So I will take Justin Fields and knowing only what we know right now, I'm going to take Najee Harris. So then you're on at 104.
Yeah, so I'm on at 104, and this has been the pick that I've been mulling over most about this draft. I think the ones later I'm fine with. It's this one where it's a 2-point PPR for tight end. So it,
right,
Kyle Pitts is, I don't think he's going to be there at 7.
Mm.
But then it's a tight end. And I think when I'm looking to win, I think that it's the right pick to make. So I've decided to take Kyle Pitts at the 4th pick, which it is too high, I think. But I think when I'm looking to win, he'll be better on my team than he will be on anyone else's team when I'm looking to win in sort of 2 years' time.
Okay. Yes. 104, taking Kyle Pitts. Oh. Yeah, that's a tough spot. You'd like to be at 105, 106 there and then take him.
Yeah, I think with the premium. But then again, anyone who's moving up from the 105 to the 106 is going to take Kyle Pitts at 4. I think they wouldn't be moving up unless they were taking him anyway. So if to get him, I have to take him there, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be, if it wasn't that 4-point extra, I don't think I would be. He's even at a half point premium or even 7.5, he's a 106, 107 sort of slot there, I think. But
yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm in several 1.5-point tight end premiums, and I'm not considering him until 107, 109, somewhere in there. So, but the 2 points, that's a huge, huge bump. And he's not a Noah Fant where he's also a blocker. Like, he seems like he's going to be a wide receiver, you know, with the tight end designation. So
even with that first year lull that everyone, even the first 2 year lull that sort of everyone says tight ends have, he's got a wingspan the size of an albatross. He's he's gonna be making catches. He's gonna be getting touchdowns.
Yeah, he did it early. He didn't do it just his senior year. He did it early in his college career.
He's gonna be used wherever he goes. If he goes to Miami or Philadelphia, which is where there's sort of the most talk is, he's going to be used.
Yeah.
So I've got no problem taking him.
Yeah. All right. Well, then for number 5, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. And then at number 6, I will go with Jamar Chase. So then you got 7?
I've got 7, yeah, which is, I've always, the quarterback I've wanted at 7 is the quarterback that you've left me.
Oh, you're going with Trey Lance?
I wanted Trey Lance, yeah. I think his upside is, his ceiling is sky high.
Yeah.
His floor seems solid to me. I think he's going to be a decent quarterback. Whether he's starting next year or not, I don't know. We don't know until we know where he's going, but I think he's at 107. I'm happy to take him there with my team, adding to my quarterback room. And that's how I've wanted the draft to fall so far. In my head, that's how it's gone.
Okay. So when's your next pick?
I've got 109 and the 111.
Okay. So up at 108. I imagine whoever is after you at 108, you know, they probably, they see you're taking a quarterback as the, you know, the last high profile quarterback, but there's really only one other quarterback out there. And Mac Jones, I feel like last 2 weeks at least, and this is, you know, the hype of NFL draft season, that people are starting to come around, like that maybe he's not a starter week one, but that he's going to get his shot. And he seems like maybe more in the Matt Ryan model of quarterback, but Matt Ryan is a great quarterback, you know? And so people are kind of projecting, yeah, sure, he's not got that rushing ability, but he's a good quarterback. And so I'm gonna take him at number eight, and that'll kind of dry up the quarterbacks for you at 109.
Yeah, see, I think in the league that this is in, I think he will drop, and I'm hoping to get him with my 201.
Okay.
Not going the world, because like you said, I'd be happy with Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins on my team. Give me them every day of the week. They're going to put up numbers.
Yep.
So with the 109, I'm a firm believer in running backs over wide receivers in rookie drafts.
Okay.
They hold more value, more trade value, and any wide receiver that you take now, I think you can probably get for roughly the same price next year from a non-believer or mid-season. So I'd be taking Travis Etienne at the 109.
Okay. I actually did a podcast on that narrative that running backs are better in rookie drafts. And in my head, I've kind of started to doubt that. So and if you would go, I can't remember what the name of it was, but I did two episodes where I didn't have a guest booked, but I just still wanted to talk. And so there is a narrative out there that running backs are better in rookie drafts.
I'll buy into the narrative. If everyone else is going to do it, I'll do it. And then I'll sell Travis Etienne mid-season and pick up, you know, Rashad Bateman plus maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so Etienne comes off the board. So that now we're getting into that dearth of wide receivers that I don't know what to do with. And you have 111, so you get the very next pick. So let's see if I can try and snipe you. You had said, I don't know if you tipped your hand on the next wide receiver and you're in. So maybe Rondell Moore. I'm going to go with Rondell Moore and see if I can snipe you.
Yeah, I like Rondell Moore. He was my number two behind Chase.
Yeah, there we go. But again, they're all in one big tier for you now at this point. That's
it wouldn't matter which one I had. Again, I mean, with my 111, I would again buy into that running back narrative and I'd take Javonte Williams. Just with the sort of sparsity at the position, he'd be someone I'd be looking to sell once he sort of kicks on, possibly, because that would leave me with five running backs in that league.
Yeah.
Sorry, four running backs now with Etienne and Javonte Williams plus J.K. Dobbins and DeAndre Swift. I'd feel set then at running back.
Nice.
With still picks to go in this draft that I could, wide receiver position.
Yeah, you have the 201, right?
I have the 201 as well, yeah.
So we'll say that Devonta Smith comes off the board at 112. Are you wanting to make that 201 pick, or you want to drop back at that point?
No, I'd if I keep them, I'll be picking Rashad Bateman there.
Okay.
So and then I'll get Deami Brown.
That's right. There you go. Nice.
So good. I like that. I've been sort of sounding out a few sort of smarter people than me about what to do with these picks.
Yeah.
And I will get offers. I haven't had any offers for any pick in this league yet. I'm expecting to get offers at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm with the way my team is, I'm happy to make every pick there because I think everyone I've just picked, you know, they're not all going to hit.
Right.
But I think, you know, if three of those five first rounds sort of perform reasonably, then my team is better, and I'd take that.
Yeah. knowing what you know about what's still on the board, are you willing to go in and buy some low seconds to get even more?
Yeah, I think so, because I've got three firsts next year, which, you know, I don't like to predict where they're going to be, but one of them is the guy that won it this year. I'm expecting that to be reasonably high. So
yeah.
I've got no problem giving up one of them for an early second. If Jalen Waddle was still there, I'd probably go in for him, like you said, for his ceiling. And then maybe even someone like a Pat Freiermuth sort of towards the end of the second with that tight end premium.
Yeah.
I haven't watched his tape yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about him. I've got the 3-1 actually, so I was sort of expecting to pick up maybe Brevin Jordan there.
Sure. Yeah. Nice. So you might not be done buying picks. It's a hard season to buy picks, but you're not, that doesn't scare you off.
Not during the draft. I think once that second round hits, like we said, there's so many wide receivers there that I think people will be happy to move back on the day. And I think once you see how many there are, once you're in that draft room and you see there's still six wide receivers on the board, I think the price, once it gets to that early second, I think the price will start to drop slightly. Mm,
okay. Oh, I hope you're right about that. Maybe I'll keep a feel out for that when my rookie draft comes about. That could very well be true. Last thoughts on a rookie draft. I had thrown out a couple ideas. Like, do you draft for ceiling? Do you draft safe guys? Do you like trying to acquire future picks, or do you want to leverage those later round picks? Like, what do you do with those seconds and those late seconds, those thirds? Like, what are you trying to do with those picks?
It's league dependent. It depends on where my team is, really. It's honestly a bit of everything. I'm quite happy to. I'm always someone who's happy to move back, as I think most people are,
yep,
for the right price. I mean, if I've got a late second and someone's going to be offering me an early third and a second next year or something like that, you know, I'll take the value there. I like to sort of value trade, really, and if I think that there is that bit of a value there that I can pick up and make my team better down the line,
mm-hmm,
I'm happy to do it.
Okay, so you're maybe looking to kind of keep them in the picks though, not necessarily moving them for players or anything like that.
I find it quite hard when people come at me for picks with players, because they're not players I'm interested in. They're not players I want.
Yeah,
you know, I want somebody who's going to be at least in my team, because, you know, in this team that we've just gone through, the majority of the players I've just picked there will go into my starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to want someone who's going to go into my starting lineup, and I'm finding a lot of people are very much undervaluing it at the minute. I think it's just low ball offers. They might well come back with something better on the day, but we'll see. I'm happy with picks, to be fair, because I think picks, the value of picks doesn't change, does it?
Right.
You know, a 22 second now is worth what a 22 second is up until it's picked, isn't it? Whereas, you know, you look at a Brandon Cooks, say. I like Brandon Cooks. I think his receiving floor is quite high, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much with
right. What's happening in Texas? Yeah,
but you know, he was someone I picked up a lot last year because he's got that reception floor. His PPR scoring ability was there, so I was sending like seconds for him, and quite happily, you know, I think he was worth more than a second.
Yeah,
but now the value's dropped. So
right,
that second now would probably rather have that second back.
Yeah, that's tough. I think oftentimes, I feel like there's so many routes on what to do with those kind of late seconds and thirds that I get kind of stuck in what do I want to use them to package up to move higher in the draft? Do I want to use them to, because it feels like the percent hit rate on them is really low. I don't actually know what it is, but like, could I get a John Brown last year for a third? I'm sure I could have. And the trade calculator says I lost that deal, but who knows what the third is? And John Brown was a fine, you know, fill in if you had injury or bye weeks. And so he ends up being a starter, not an every week starter, but who knows what your third round pick's ever gonna make your, you know. So, and then it's just like, or do I wanna you know, there's this guy I've been listening to, Jacob Sanderson, who he's on Twitter at FF_RTDB. I wanted to give him a shout out because he's talking about in these later rounds, like, I've always kind of gone with the, what do I think is the safest, most likely to have a long lasting in the league. And he's saying, like, go with the ones that, like, either hit, if they hit, they hit high, but they might not ever hit. And so he, you know, the high ceiling, low floor guys are actually what he recommends. And he's had this thing called the Pareto principle, some economic principle. Anyways, if you guys should check him out. I don't know if you've seen his articles, Stuart, but they're really thought provoking. Anyways, that's his philosophy. So I'm like, oh, I'm used to trying to go for the most likely to hang around player versus where Antonio Gibson was, no, hardly any rushing background, but high reception background. He's buried on a depth chart with Geis at the time and Jordan, Bryce Love was still there. Adrian Peterson was still there. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, he's buried on a depth chart. Geis is the starter. He barely has any rushing floor, rushing history. Seems like a really risky guy. So I pass over him and someone else gets him and just the chips fall. And now he's a third round startup pick. So he's like, those are the types you should be going for. Cause if they hit, they'll hit high. But the risk of them hitting is really low. So
if I'm taking anyone, with the exception of, like I said, with one wide receiver that I'll pick most years, like Deami Brown, say LaVisca last year, it'll be running backs. Because, it's the same theory as you just said with the wide receivers. You know, you look at Claypool was going third round last year in most of them, and he hit big time. But then now his, you know, you had to sell him then if you wanted to get that price for that hit. You had to sell him then, really, because his price then dropped quite a bit. It's sort of gone up a bit perhaps in the off season,
right?
But it'll be I'll be taking running backs there and just hoping one of them hits. There's quite a few in this. His incoming rookie class of those sort of that second tier of running back, your Game Wells, your Carters, your Chuba Hubbards, Ramondre Stevenson, you know, and it'll just be dart throws on them and hope that something lands, and we'll see. I mean, I've there's been a lot of talk about Chuba Hubbard again. That may be recency bias from his pro day. I think it was yesterday or the day before, but is picking up a bit of traction now, and he's sort of getting a few sort of good reviews.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So I feel like I don't know, honestly, what my thoughts are with those picks anymore. I'm like, all of them. I want to do all of those ideas. So I guess it is more league dependent on what my league mates are willing to do. Are they willing to drop back, or are they just wanting to offload veterans at a discount? And so I don't know. Anyways, wanted to talk startups for our last portion together. Startup drafts that went well, startup drafts that went sideways. Like, tell me a little bit of the stories of some of the different startups and the great trades and the poor trades you've made in the midst of them. We'd love to hear about those kind of things.
Yeah, so with last year being my first sort of foray into Dynasty, the first draft we spoke about, and it went awry very quickly. So I thought I need to sort of work on this a bit. So I did a lot of reading, did a lot of sort of research and looking at what far better people than me were doing. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, the zero RB strategy, quarterback extreme, a balanced approach, best player available, trading up, trading down, and all that. So I thought, well, I'll just do them all then. Nice. So I in each of the leagues I tried to take a slightly different approach to the draft. I found with some of the leagues I'm in, which is Brit only leagues, there's a lot, some of them, not all of them, but there's a lot less draft pick trading. During the draft, lots of trading afterwards, but during the draft I think it might have just been because a few of them were new like me, and they don't sort of perhaps know the true value of what a second round pick is worth, as opposed to a fourth round pick.
Right.
So I found it. So in some of them, I was sort of doing zero RB stroke QBX quarterback extreme, and that has been come to my favorite. When I don't pick a running back until the eighth, ninth round, with the exception of perhaps the running back position, I absolutely love every team that I've done like that. Huh. It works for me. I'm able to move around the draft a bit and pick up sort of that future capital, which will then enable me to pick up my quarterbacks. So I did one league, which was a 10-team PPR league, Superflex. And I took... there was no draft trading, no draft pick trading at all, really, this one. I took Deshaun Watson, Kittle, Dak Prescott with the first three picks, and then went on to take AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb. And then there was AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and sort of filled my wide receiver room with high upside guys from there. And I mean, I happened to land on Lamb, so that was good.
Nice.
But then I went on then, I took Kirk Cousins. I tried to get as many of the rest of the starting quarterback because they were just being devalued. I know it was a 10-team league, so perhaps
sure. The
value in the quarterback wasn't quite as much in the 12-team. But if I've got 6-7 of them, I've got all that value that is perhaps lower, but I've still got it all.
Yeah.
And I hadn't planned on trading it away, but I did end up trading most of them away. I thought, well, you know, they were giving me a good offer, so I picked up quite a few firsts in that one.
Nice.
And my team in there, that it's looking good. I'm very happy with how that team's looking. I've just traded away Deshaun Watson in that league last week, sort of just before all the news got really bad.
Okay.
I picked up Joe Burrow and Gibson.
Oh, nice.
I was happy with that.
I think that's great
value. Right. So my team in that, I've got Brown, I've got CeeDee Lamb, I've got Slayton, I've got Laviska Shenault, I've got Mooney. I've picked up some good players, and I've moved most of my picks in that. And I've ended up with DJ Moore. I got for like a 109. Keenan Allen. I got for an early second, and Debo Samuel. My team's looking really good. I love that team, but I made a mistake after the rookie draft.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, the draft. And I did my zero RB strategy, and I think it worked quite well. I've got a good team. My quarterback room was solid. I've got Kittle at tight end. I mean, like, he missed the season, but it, sure, going forward, I'm happy there.
Yeah.
The two running backs that I got were, I'd got Gibson, and I got James Robinson.
Yep.
And I traded both of them away early on because
the hype
on Gibson was huge.
Yep.
So I was trying to
sell high, right? Yeah, sell high.
Yeah, the hype was there, so I don't regret that one. So I got Amari Cooper and Darius Slayton for him, and I think Marquise Brown. I was quite happy with that. I thought that was a decent trade.
Sure.
And James Robinson, I think he had one good week, and I sold him for like a second and a fourth. Looking back, but at the time, you know, he's a free agent and we didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, had I not have done those two trades, I think I quite possibly could have won last season.
Doing zero RB, which is amazing.
That's it. But I ended up coming, I think I was second to last, but I've still got the 102, 104 and 105 in that league. So
yeah,
my running back room now in that league is Amari Cooper and obviously Gibson.
Yeah.
I'll be adding Najee Harris. I'll be adding Travis Etienne, hopefully, or Javonte Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll also be addressing Jamar Chase and putting him in my wide receiver room.
Nice.
So I'm happy with that. And I said, but my teams always look better when I don't draft a running back. I would much rather have AJ Brown as my wide receiver one.
Okay.
I'd much rather have an AJ Brown and then, you know, a Ridley. McLaurin, I think, is absolutely a bit of maybe home bias there.
No, that's fun though. He's exciting.
If he is not a top 10 wide receiver with Ryan Fitzpatrick there, I think then, you know, I'll be putting a lot of money on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I can get them in my team, I'll quite happily, you know, pick up your Montgomery's maybe later on in the draft, or your Carsons. Melvin Gordon, I think, is a fantastic buy this year.
Yeah.
If I can get him or your Philip Lindsay's last year at that sort of 9th, 10th round, I'll do that. I'll take sort of 5 running backs then and see if hopefully one of them hits. Then I'll trade them, obviously, and get nothing for them. But
yeah. Well, it does sound very much like the quarterback extreme, where you just load up on those really cheap running backs. And as soon as an injury happens, they become an RB1 for a week or two, and you put them right in your lineup.
I've got one league where I went, it was a 12-team league where I went proper QBX.
Okay.
I think it was the Superflex dude who's the sort of the
the
forerunner in that.
Yeah.
And he's passionate about it, and you know, it worked in that league. It's a 12-team league. And I just took as many quarterbacks in the first 7 rounds as I could, really. So I ended up with Josh Allen. I've got Russell Wilson. I've got Joe Burrow. I've got Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz. I've got Sam Darnold and Ben Roethlisberger as well.
Oh, yeah.
So my quarterback room was set. It was good. And I stayed true. I haven't traded any of them. They're still all on my team.
I'll
use them week to week based on their matchups. I can flex that position based on who I think's got the best matchup, do what's best for my team. A lot of people in that league don't want to trade for my quarterbacks because that was what they decided they were going to do because I was ruining the quarterback position. But
did you get some tongue lashing for going QBX?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What you're taking these quarterbacks for? You don't need, you know, you can't start. You can only start 2. You can't start 6. what are you doing? We're not going to trade for them. You're not going to get 4 firsts for them just because you're the only one selling them. I don't want 4 firsts for them. I'm quite happy for Carson Wentz to sit on my bench. He's not on your team, so he's not going to score points against me. He can sit on my bench, and when he's playing, you know, if he's playing against the Bengals or Houston, he can come in and he can put up 30 points for me and I'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does, you know, it's certainly a strategy where, I mean, year one, you cannot win. Year two, you probably can't win. You've got to hope that your rookie picks hit,
mm-hmm.
hope that your draft, your trading elsewhere goes well.
Yeah.
But it's a strategy that I find it worked for me, and that it's certainly in that league anyway.
Yeah. What are some of the trading tools you've used? Do you use Twitter mainly, or I think you mentioned Football Guys podcast. Is it other tools that you're digging around with?
So like I said, I listen to sort of, it's about 24, 25 hours of podcasts a week. So there's a lot of information that I'm consuming, and I sort of use that to sort of, to do my tiers list that I've got. Sort of to put that together, and then trade calculators I think are a great tool, certainly for starters, to sort of try and you know, find what that value is. You know, what is Deebo Samuel worth as opposed to Keenan Allen, because mm-hmm. they're both good wide receivers, they do different things, but you know, Keenan Allen's got a far higher floor really than Deebo Samuel, but perhaps not as high a ceiling,
right?
So it's looking at that, and I found the best idea I had was, I can't remember who I heard it off now, but it was put in your league chat. So I put in a couple of league chats, you know, I'm looking for a trade calculator to use. What do you use in this? And then try and sort of get into the minds of your sort of league mates a little bit. And if you can find out what trade calculator they use, go and find it, go and look at that, and put that against your rankings list, your tiering, whatever system you use, and find the sort of discrepancies there.
Yeah.
So in mine, like last year, I love AJ Brown. I think he's absolutely just a beast of a man. He is my absolute man crush. I think
he is amazing. Just
amazing. What he does after the catch is,
yeah, it's frightening.
It's godlike. So I had him as my wide receiver 2 last year. He was only behind Tyreek Hill last year for me.
Okay.
But the trade calculators weren't doing all that. Whereas it felt like that, he's like that on mine. So I was trying to find players that I'd got that were a lot higher than him on trade calculators and trading them away plus a nice bit on top for who I deemed to be that wide receiver 2.
Yeah.
And it's using those trade calculators to your advantage. I've got one league, which is a trade I told you about, where I found out that a guy in the league was using a calculator, but he was using a season-long calculator as opposed to a dynasty calculator.
Oh.
So when Cam Newton, he had two fantastic weeks last year at the start of the season for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I traded a first-round pick to get him. As soon as he signed, but it was worth it in the view to selling him,
right?
And I sold him for Justin Herbert and a first.
Oh,
Justin Herbert wasn't starting any. You know, the doctor for the Chargers hadn't
stabbed him in the lung. I love Tyrod Taylor. I'm so sad for that guy.
He's had no luck.
Such a
fan. So I managed to trade Cam Newton. The dying Cam Newton for Justin Herbert and a first, which became the 101.
Oh man, I feel bad for your league mate. Wrong trade calculator, bro.
It wasn't on paper. It wasn't necessarily a bad trade. He didn't have a bad team. He'd got an okay team. Cam Newton was going to help his team at that time far more than Herbert.
Yeah.
But. And to be fair, we didn't know what Herbert was going to become.
Right, yeah, you know, that's true.
No one, I don't think many people sort of foresaw what happened with him happening. And I mean, he just went to the moon, didn't he, really?
Yeah, yeah.
But even then, I mean, I probably would have taken Justin Herbert straight up because I wasn't competing in the year, I don't think. So it was one where I would have been happy with Herbert straight up, maybe a second, maybe even a third, you know.
Right, right.
But it was trying my luck based on knowing that he was using that season-long calculator based on a trade they had put in the chat previously. And I was like, look, that's a bit off.
Sure.
So I looked into it a bit more. So, I use four or five calculators. The Dynasty Nerds GM tool is very good.
Hmm.
So I don't base my trades off them, but if you can find that discrepancies in someone else's and what they're doing,
yeah,
it's good to use, I think.
That's good wisdom there. Yeah. Very nice. We're going near the end here, but I just wanted to ask if there's anything kind of specific strategy you're noodling on these days. I know you mentioned that you feel zero RB kind of fits going forward.
I think my teams look better. I like my team more. You can always trade for running backs, and you're always going to get those ones that hit. You look at last year with Mike Davis was running back 6-7, something like that.
Yeah,
and even Gibson, you know, Gibson was attainable last year, even with the hype, he was still attainable for a first round pick. So there, you can still get them.
Yep. So as you're moving into this offseason, kind of is there anything last things you wanted just to mention that you've been thinking on or playing with?
Try and trade for
Jerry Jeudy.
I think he's being slept on massively, and possibly, you know, fairly so. But you know, you look at what he had. I think about 850 yards last year, 3 or 4 touchdowns. Certainly not spectacular, especially when you look at what sort of CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson were doing, and even sort of T. Higgins, and maybe even Claypool would have a higher
ADP,
vote. But I just think he looked good. You look at the quarterbacks, he had Drew Lock throwing him, you know, Drew Lock did okay, but there was times where he was only hitting, you know, 50% of his target attempts.
Yeah.
But not only did he have Drew Lock, he had Jeff Driscoll throwing to him for a couple of games. He had Brett Rypien. He had Kendall Hinton, the wide receiver from the practice squad.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I mean, that 850 yards, even with a full season of Drew Lock, I think Lock missed 4 games, three or four. That 850 yards probably becomes 1,000 yards. You know, he was the only real target on that team. So when you add back in Cortland Sutton, you know, Melvin Gordon missed a few games last year. They were just using Lindsay out of the backfield. Then Lindsay was injured. They were only using Melvin Gordon, so that the targets were there for him.
Yeah.
But they were always behind. They're in a high scoring division. You know, you've got the Chargers, you've got the Chiefs. They're going to put up points on anybody. So there's going to be opportunity for Denver to score a lot of points, to put a lot on people. So you've got Sutton coming back, who's going to take some defensive coverage away from him. I don't think it'll affect his target share too much, because I think there will be enough targets still there for him. And you have got the fact that they're what, I think they're ninth in the draft. I think they're in a good position to move up. Mm-hmm. You look at Atlanta sat in fourth. Atlanta aren't going to trade with Carolina. So I think they're in prime position to move up into that fourth spot and get possibly Trey Lance, maybe even Mac Jones. I think either of those, I'll be happy with them at Denver.
Yeah.
And I think they're actually looking quite tasty. So I think Jerry Jeudy, someone you can probably grab for a late first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at his.
That's probably as high as most people go. I'd be happy to, in some leagues, give up the 106, maybe even the 107, because I think he's going to have a very good year. He was most people's second wide receiver last year.
Yeah.
You know, I see no reason why he can't become the second wide receiver of that class, you know, going forward.
Hmm. Yeah, so in March, Superflex ADP, he was the 87th player off the board. He was the 27th wide receiver, and he was right next to the 25th and 26th running backs off the board. So your back end RB2s, players around him in the rookies, that Devonta Smith went three picks ahead of him. So if you're in one QB leagues, that's your 105, 107 range. And in Superflex, yeah, that's your 109, 10, 11. So yeah, late first could certainly get him.
I've been sending out seconds. I've only got him in a couple of places for an early second. I had to add a 22 second for that, but I mean, that's an absolute bargain. I think that is it. I think I'm smaller than him from there.
Yeah.
I hope it comes to fruition now, but obviously, but.
Yeah, I was a big fan. Actually, I look like a fool, egg on my face, but he was my wide receiver one. I had him over CeeDee Lamb, which means I really missed out on a lot of the good wide receivers in this class, but.
You missed out one year.
Yeah. I think I've just had a negative bias on him since, because the thoughts of Sutton coming back and Fant, and I'm like, I really don't have positive vibes about them improving the quarterback position. And so my thought is like, I'll buy Jeudy mid-season this year, because I think he's going to struggle again. But if they do get the quarterback upgrade, then I'll have missed out on that opportunity. And maybe the price now is still palpable enough that I don't need it to drop further. And I can, you know, 2 seconds might get him. He's ranked just ahead of DJ Chark. There's a 3-year age gap, and I like DJ Chark, but I don't know. The market doesn't feel like, if DJ Chark does well, I don't think the market value will increase that much. But if Jerry Jeudy does well, I think the market value will increase significantly. So maybe there's just a hidden ceiling difference there.
I think with being, presuming obviously they take Trevor Lawrence, I think Chark's value can go up quite a bit with that Lawrence addition, because they'll be associated with him for the next 2-3 years, or until his contract runs out. I think his potential to go up, I think, is definitely there. And I mean, even if Denver don't try and move up and don't get that quarterback, Drew Lock was throwing for sort of what, 45 attempts last year at times. So he's gonna, his catching ability will get better. He's had a year to learn the NFL, to learn that offense. You know, it's that usual, what we say about last year with the rookies not having their rookie camps and their training camps. He's had another year in that offense. I just think he's my number one target of the offseason.
Nice. Well, we will end it there for tonight. Man, we could have gone so much longer. This was so much fun to talk with you. And so just thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for wanting to come on. And man, this was a lot of fun. So if you want to know more about being a Brit in the NFL, find Stuart. Where can we find you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm at StuPatrick180 on Twitter. If anyone wants to come and say hello, it's fine.
Yeah. And I think he's up all hours of the night, so you can DM him while you're awake, and he should be asleep. So thanks again, Stuart, for coming on. I really appreciate it. want to thank Stuart Patrick for coming on with me last Friday. I'm kind of summarizing my thoughts here, the Monday after Easter, with the weekend. My family was traveling to see my mom and nieces and nephews, so didn't get a chance to edit and finalize until a couple days after. But I did get a chance to take his advice and went out and targeted Jerry Jeudy and was able to land him in actually one of my leagues. So want to thank you, Stuart, for that. I was able to initiate with the guy that him and I have already done a few trades this offseason, so we have kind of a good vibe between us. But the deal was Andy Dalton. I sent Andy Dalton the 212. And then it's a tight end premium league, and he must want to be streaming tight ends. So he wanted Gerald Everett and Chris Herndon. And he also wanted my 401, 12-team league. So it's the 37th rookie and my future third-round pick. And for Jerry Jeudy, and then he was willing to give up, and I didn't even ask for these guys, but he was just throwing them in, I guess. Antonio Gandy-Golden and Cameron Brate. So I don't have high hope for either of those people, but I was able to get, in my mind, Jerry Jeudy for Andy Dalton and the 212. So it's super flex league. I'm not planning on contending this year again, just strengthening my team for the future, maybe 2022. So getting Andy Dalton off my team doesn't hurt me. And those other picks, the 401, the future third, you know, Herndon and Everett, those don't do anything for me. So was willing to give up all that for Jerry Jeudy and very excited about it. So now I got to hope that Stuart, you were right and that the Broncos do upgrade their quarterback, because I don't know if Drew Lock can support so many fantasy viable assets. But maybe he will. Maybe he'll take a step forward. No one's expecting him to take a step forward this year. But maybe he will, in spite of all of our negative thoughts around him. So if you enjoyed the show and you're interested in coming on, please find me on Twitter at Nathaniel Bro, and send me a direct message or something, and we'll see if we can figure out how to make that work. I'd love to get more people the opportunity to talk Dynasty and be on the podcast. So have a great week and take care.